Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are and whatever time of day it is. Welcome to this fine hour of radio and podcast broadcasting here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, coming at you from 100.7 FM KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio, broadcasting out of Brookings, Oregon. Brookings Harbor, the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest, about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. This is the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you'll ever meet. You're going to find out about that today. I've got a fantastic guest here in the studio. Right here where the mountains and the redwoods meet the sea, Harbor Brookings is home to me. We're pumping the wattage into your cottage with guests that will blow your mind with facts and figures and fascinating ways to step up, say yes, raise their hand, and serve you, this community, and the world at large. Please help me welcome today Alan Nierenberg. Alan is a district commissioner and has been involved with scouting, with Scouts BSA, for 54 years. Is that a long time or what? 54 years since he was 8 years old. This gentleman has participated in the scouting organization. And he started as a Cub Scout. And I'm going to ask him to kind of tell you his background. And then we're just going to get right into it and ask a ton of great questions and learn about this fantastic organization. Welcome, Alan. Thanks for coming in today.
Oh, thank you. It's good to see you.
Give us a little history of your 54 years in scouting. I'd like to know what got you started, and is it really 54 years? So tell us, I want to know how old you were. I want to know about your first meeting. I want to know the whole story.
Oh, boy. Well, you got to go back a few years. I got into Cub Scouts when I was 8 years old. That would have been about 50 or 51, somewhere in there, 1951. I went through Cub Scouts and joined a Boy Scout troop, and I was in the Boy Scout troop. You can be in from 11 to 14. At 14, I became what was termed as an explorer. And the explorers still exist. You're not in a troop anymore or a cub pack. You're in what's called a post. And I was in that until I went off to college. When I was in college, I didn't participate in scouts in any way. Had a few years off there. Got my first job in a little town in California called Leggett. I was a teacher there.
Nice. I love the town of Leggett. It's a very sweet little town. I had no idea you were in Leggett. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah, for 10 years.
Nice.
And I was instrumental in starting a small troop there and for a few years. And then I left there as a counselor. I went to a different position. And, I don't know, I had about 3 years off there. And then I went to another position over in Eastern Oregon. And I had children by then, two twin sons. And I got them involved in the Boy Scouts.
Good.
And participated in that as a leader. And then we moved here, and my sons finished their scouting career here. And I thought I would be finished when they left scouting also. But I stayed.
But alas, scouting had a different program for you, didn't it?
I stayed. I probably would have dropped out, except for a friend of mine was involved in scouting too, Tim Buehler, and he was the scoutmaster, and I was the committee chairman for the troop here, and I just stayed. I don't know what happened. The years went by, and here we are.
The years went by, and here you are, and now, so you kind of went through, you know, you talked about Cub, and you talked about Explorer. Did you mention, and did I miss Venturers? You did not do Venturers, right?
As far as I know, there were no Venturers at that time.
It didn't happen then, yeah.
No, at 18, you were done with exploring, I believe, at that time. And that's when most kids had left high school and went off to college anyhow. So,
did you do Eagle Scouts?
I didn't. I came within about an inch of it, and I don't... Can't explain exactly why, but I just didn't do that last inch.
I'm really curious. So having had that experience of coming within an inch of it, has that given you a greater impetus to help the young people that you see that are within that 1 inch? Does that help you kind of share your experience with them to have them go ahead and finish, to go that last, not mile, but inch?
Well, I regret that I didn't finish. And when a kid is, when a scout is hesitating, thinking about maybe not finishing, I relate that to them. You're liable to regret that later in your life.
Yeah, I imagine so.
And there are benefits to having an Eagle rank. I understand that a lot of times if the qualifications are equal and you're applying for a job, mm-hmm. you might get the job even just though because. You're equal with somebody else. You might get it just because you have your Eagle rank.
Yeah. I know that to be true from personal experience. I used to participate in the academy nomination process for West Point. In fact, I'm an honorary admissions officer for West Point. For the Air Force Academy and the U.S. Naval Academy, served on the staff of a U.S. senator, and that was my job. It was like my position in the organization to do the entire academy nomination process. And I can tell you for sure that if an application came in, And there were very rigorous requirements. You don't just get a congressional nod to one of the U.S. service academies without having had a very distinguished high school career. And when the Eagle Scouts came in, those files went straight to the top. So when the Academy Selection Committee got together, the first files they looked at and the first kids that got scheduled for interviews were those with Eagle Scouts. So if you're listening and you're thinking about scouting, or you've been thinking about a military career, or getting an appointment into one of the U.S. service academies, what Alan is talking about is a really big opportunity. It's a differentiator that really, as a student, as a young person, or as a parent who's listening, this can set your student apart in a really big way. I love that you brought that up. And I'm glad that your experience helps you take the kids who might sort of be thinking, well, I don't know if I want to do it, take them over the edge to the next level. That's awesome.
Right.
What are some of the Eagle Scout projects that have happened here in our area that you're proud of or that you're aware of that you'd like to share?
Well, over the years, there's been several. I'm still the chairman of Troop 32, and I know for a fact that we've had over 20 Eagle Scouts. I don't remember the exact number, but we've had quite a few. And that's over the national average. The projects, we've had scouts put in dog parks. We've had scouts who have, I think they were instrumental in putting in the frisbee golf at the Azalea Park.
Yes.
We had a scout who his Eagle project was to kind of spruce up Azalea Park with paint the trash cans and do some landscaping and things like that.
What I love about these Eagle projects is they're wide-ranging. They're service projects. They don't help an individual. They help the community. And I think it'll be how I'd like to kind of go backwards a little bit. I want to come back to the Eagle Scouts and the Eagle Scout projects particularly. But what I wonder is if you could talk about, what's the foundation of scouting? I know there's a kind of an ethical and moral leadership, citizenship, character building. Can you talk about that as the foundation? Or maybe I've got it wrong. I don't know a lot about scouting, but I'd like to have you kind of address, what is it that happens to a kid? What's the transformation that a youngster goes through?
Well, when they come in as Cub Scouts, they're quite young, especially now. You can come in. I came in at 8. Which was the lowest age at that time, back in the 50s. But now you can come in as a lion cub at kindergarten, or you can come in as a tiger cub. Yeah. Then at each age level up to 11, you can come in at any time. So if you join in kindergarten or as a tiger cub, your parents have to accompany you, and so you have bonding time with your parents while you're getting along with other kids, learning to. The whole idea is to, over the years, is to develop character, citizenship, fitness, and ethical and moral choices.
Oh, awesome. I love that. And fitness. You know, Coming back to what you just talked about, getting the parents involved, parental involvement can be a real challenge these days. So easy for families to have screen time, phones in your face. I own a restaurant company, and I can't tell you how many times I've seen whole entire families come in, sit down, and every single person puts a device in their face, and I just want to go shake the whole family.
They don't even talk.
They don't communicate the whole time. Or in the restaurants, so many restaurants now just have TVs everywhere. And if you don't have your phone in your face, then you have a TV in your face. And sometimes you have your phone in your face and you're watching the TV at the same time. It's crazy. So I think parental involvement in so many ways, whether it's through scouting or school or just in home life, you know, how many kids get texted from mom or dad that dinner's on the table, you know?
Oh, that happens, right?
I mean, like, you can't just go to the bottom of the stairs and say, baby, dinner's ready. You know, no, I got to text the kids and tell them. So I think anything that fosters strong relationships in families is good. And I love that you talked about ethical and moral choices, leadership and citizenship character, and fitness. I think the fitness component is so important. Here in our rural area, you know, Brookings Harbor, as you know, it's very rural. You know, we're not a big city. We're a tiny little rural community, but we have so many outdoor activities. And I think if parents and kids can get out and do fun things together, maybe it starts with going to parks. Maybe then as you get a little bit older, you get involved in Cub Scouts and become a lion or a tiger or, you know, do Girl Scouts do Cubs and Lions and Tigers too? Girl Scouts, we're going to talk about that in a second too, but do they do Cubs?
They have different designations for them, but they do have younger and older groups.
There, I remember from being a kid, they had brownies, right? Is that sort of the equivalent of Cubs?
Yes.
I don't really know anything else about that, except I remember seeing the little girls in school that had their little brownie uniforms. They're so cute, you know, and they had their little sashes and their badges, and there seemed to be a spirit of camaraderie, of fellowship, of friendship that was happening along with those girls. That's kind of neat. Can you talk about a little bit more about the parental involvement, and is there grandparental involvement as well in scouting?
Well, we try to encourage the adults, the parents, to be involved with their kids as they come into, especially come into the Boy Scout, the scout troop. We try to give them a responsibility, something to do. I mean, you might start out maybe you can help provide transportation to an outing first, and you wouldn't have to do that every month. We try to go on an outing every month. Mm-hmm. We just had a camp out last weekend. And
Where'd you go?
Well, we didn't go very far. We went down to Florence Keller Park, just north of Crescent City. A little redwood grove. It's beautiful in there. And what we try to do is we try to find places that have a covered area where we can cook and get in out of the rain. The rain is a big factor in what we do. We've actually canceled this month, this year so far, two outings because of the storm warnings. Mm-hmm. The storms were so ferocious that we didn't feel that it was safe to go out in those things, to travel to a destination or to camp in those conditions. And so Florence Keller is a good place for a covered area. They've got a big covered cooking area. The kids pitch tents out in the open and they sleep in them, but are cooking. And this past weekend, the weather was great.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's raining, we can sit at the picnic tables under the covered areas, stay dry and warm, and still do some kind of a program with them.
You know, coming back to, I want to come full circle to the Eagle Scout rank and the position of it. Because when we talked earlier about ethical and moral choices and leadership, particularly in citizenship. You know, John Maxwell says leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And, you know, he happens to be one of the preeminent leadership thought leaders in the entire world. And I love that he says that, because what he also says, if you want to go far, if you want to go fast, go alone. And if you want to go far, go with a team. Bring others with you. And I feel like the Eagle Scout program, yes, one scout gets the rank, the badge, the patch. One scout gets that, but they don't get there by themselves.
That's exactly the truth, yes. A scout project, the Eagle candidate plans the project. That's his thing, and he provides leadership. He plans it and decides what it's going to be and how they're going to do it and all the details of it, and it has to involve the other scouts. So the scouts that aren't yet approaching Eagle, they do help the Eagle candidate. That's the idea.
Well, they have the opportunity to help, right?
Right.
To step forward, to raise their hand and say, yes, I'll be involved. So they're getting this training early on, whether or not they're participating as this the Eagle candidate, as you said. They're helping to take that Eagle candidate to that next level, and they're learning and they're getting a role model at the same time as to how to behave. So when we talk about ethical and moral choices, leadership and citizenship, it's not just a lesson where someone's sitting down and somebody's going, you know, like the Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. They're learning it. They're seeing it. They're physically
experiencing it. They're actually doing it. And the idea is by helping the Eagle candidate, then when you become the Eagle candidate, the others will help you. So you give and you get.
I think that's so important. You understand how your inputs help others and others' inputs help you. If you're just joining us today here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, welcome. We're broadcasting on KCIW FM 100.7 out of Brookings, Oregon. And our guest today on the Ocean Mist Power Hour is Alan Nierenberg. Now, Alan has been involved in Scouts, what used to be called Boy Scouts of America, now called Scouts BSA.
Scouts BSA.
Scouts BSA. Talk about some major, major changes happened to the organization nationally.
Well, for what used to be the Boy Scouts, the change occurred in February.
Mm-hmm.
Girls are now eligible to be Scouts, and that's what we call them now. We don't say Boy Scouts, and we don't say Girl Scouts, we say Scouts. So the girls and the guys are all considered scouts. They work on the same requirements. Their handbooks are verbally identical.
So virtually identical.
Not virtually. They are identical. Evidently, the girls' books has pictures of girls, and the guys' books have pictures of guys.
Other than that, it's the same.
Other than that, I understand it's exactly the same,
yeah.
And we're treating them that way.
Nice.
We have by the national procedures, we have to form a separate girl troop. There's already a boy troop, but the way we're doing it is we're running them together. We meet on the same nights and we do virtually the same activities. I was a little leery of how the boys would react to the girls coming in, but they've accepted them and they are instructing them. And they've accepted them so far. Right now, though, we only have three girls. We need to get more girls in our troop.
I love that you're inviting and welcoming and embracing. And I love to see that the boys are just realizing, just like in school every day, just boys and girls, you know.
Exactly.
We don't have a separate school for girls and a separate school for boys. So making one organization for scouting makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's friendships that develop. Throughout the school day. And so then to take that into your scouting organization at night makes sense. I was kind of thinking about my own school journey, and I was a tomboy, 100%. I didn't hang with girls. I was climbing trees and running and riding bikes and chasing and getting stabbed by nails and stuff, you know, throwing rocks. I mean, I was like fully a tomboy. And so had I been involved in Girl Scouts, as much as I admired their little dresses, I wasn't a dress girl. You know, I was like, I liked the other uniforms that the boys wore with blue pants.
And you would have liked to have been a scout.
Yeah, I would have liked to have been a scout. Exactly. But it's neat to see how they're coming together and they're building on the existing foundation of just being a human. Just being a human. Alan, about the Oregon Trail Council, and what is it? How many troops or districts or how is it made up? What's it comprised of?
Okay, nationally, the scouts are they're organized nationally, and the headquarters is in Texas. Then the national organization is divided into four regions, and we're in the Northwest region.
Ah, the Great Pacific Northwest.
Right. And then the regions are divided into what they call councils. And we're in the Oregon Trail Council. The Oregon Trail Council goes from Lincoln City to Brookings and from Eugene to Roseburg.
Pretty big.
Pretty big. And then the council is divided into districts. And there's seven districts in the Oregon Trail Council. And we're in the Wacoma District. Pretty basically, that's Gold Beach and Brookings. And in the council, they're serving 5,000 youth, Cub Scouts and boys. Well,
that's huge.
There I use the pronoun boy again. I got to
okay.
break myself with that.
That's going to take a little time.
Cub Scouts and Scouts, mm-hmm. 5,000. And they're supported by 2,300 adult volunteers.
Oh, my goodness. So those are people like you and others, right? So parents, grandparents, community volunteers, and actual leadership trained long-term scouting organization.
Right, registered
yes.
adults trained to do their job and have taken what's called youth protection training, which mm-hmm. is required.
Mm-hmm.
And that is ways to avoid molestation and that kind of stuff. For example, I'm not allowed to be alone with a scout. That's forbidden.
Yes.
I just can't do that.
It makes sense in our day and age that you would have a program for youth protection training. One of the things I love about the scouting organization is that at the national and perhaps even international level, and I want to ask you about international, that the youth is really the focus. The focus is on making sure they have a good experience, that they learn these traits of ethical and moral choices, of leadership and citizenship, of character building. And to have that demonstrated for them at the top level by their organization and their leadership, it doesn't get better than that. It's unfortunate in our day and age also that we have to be focused on that, but we must. We must. And so I appreciate that the scouting organization does have youth protection training. You know, as a mother and as a grandmother particularly, I want to make sure my kids are safe if they're involved in scouting. And I know they are because I know you're paying attention to their health and fitness. I know that you're paying attention if there are activities that, you know, engage dangers like bows and arrows or shooting, I don't know if you call it a weapon or a firearm, you know, if there's that kind of training, or if you're using an axe or you're out in the wilderness, all of those things require youth protection.
Fire building.
Every bit of it.
Going down to the creek to draw water if you need to. You don't do that alone.
You
have another scout go with you in
yes.
case you get into trouble. We call that the buddy system.
Yes.
Another scout is supposed to be with you at all times. You know, you just don't go off alone.
Right.
The youth protection training deals with avoiding sexual abuse and talks about computer use, you know, the internet, Facebook, that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
bullying, just all that. The scouts have on computer, they have practically every safety situation that you could think of. You were talking about knife and axe, you were talking about fire building, just any situation, it seems to me, is dealt with. They tell you how to safely run it. And you can go on the computer if you have an outing of a certain type, maybe you're going canoeing and you're not sure. Well, there's safe swim and boating defense,
mm-hmm.
What to do
mm-hmm.
to lessen the chances of accidents and things like that.
You know, you've had this long career in scouting, and I am kind of curious. We talked earlier about people using their phones as a kind of a defense mechanism. I'm kind of a little bit curious about how has digital technology shifted the organization? I'm guessing, and I know for darn sure, that when you became involved in scouting, you couldn't just pick up a Kindle and look up the information or pull up the web page and watch a video. So everything you did was either in person or in a handbook. Is that right?
That's right. Everything was on paper.
On paper,
whether
right.
you were a leader or you were a scout, I still have my old handbook.
Oh my goodness. Your original handbook?
My original handbook.
Wow.
Not, I don't have an original scout handbook. That would have been like 1910, 1911.
But you have your original personal handbook.
Right.
That's
right.
So cool.
And I have several others that necessarily mine. But
yeah.
But yeah, everything was on paper. And as a leader, I remember everything was on paper too.
Yeah.
And you usually had to buy it from the console. And if they didn't have it, they ordered it from National.
So has the digital revolution that you've literally seen happen over these decades, has it enhanced the learning experience and has it accelerated the learning process for the youth, do you think?
Well, I definitely think it has, both for the youth and the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a leader, any question I have, the first thing I do is I look on the computer. I don't call somebody.
Right.
Unless I absolutely can't find it.
Right.
Or, you know, they've got just about everything online now.
Yes.
No matter what it is.
No matter what it is. You have immediate information right now.
Right.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Safety, merit badges,
uh-huh.
Rank requirements.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know how to build a fire, I could find that.
Mm-hmm.
Songs, skits, games. It's all there. It's all there. Even keeping attendance at your troop meeting and keeping track of your awards for your kids,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff is done with a computer now.
My background, my education is in social psychology, and I've long wondered and kind of marveled at the idea that, and have a minor in communication, I've wondered that the internet has accelerated human communication, but possibly denigrated it at the same time. And by that, I mean, there was a day where you would have picked up a phone and said, "Hey, Bob, you know, what was that song we sang?" And that might have facilitated more human communication. I feel like in some ways, having all of this technology, while it increases our circles, it also increases in some ways our isolation. And that's just a by the by, it's just kind of a thought I had. And you know, it really isn't germane to our discussion about scouting, but it just popped into my head and I had to say it, you know, acceleration and denigration at the same time of human communication. And I think I'm going to have to put together a show on that because I think it's really an important part. At the same time, the idea that you can pick up and have what you need right now in the moment at any time. And sometimes right now in the moment means you're out at Florence Keller Park down in Crescent City with your students, you're doing something, and there's a question you need to know the answer to right now, and you can pop out your cell phone and do a Google search and get the information you need in the moment. So that acceleration part is, I'm sure, very helpful.
Well, I think we try not to do that.
Not out in the public, right? Because you don't want the kids to be on their phones. Talk a little bit about that. You guys, scouting,
well, different units would have different rules, but Troop 32 here in town, you're not allowed to take an electronic device camping with you.
Nice.
So that means, like, when you're in your tent at night, you're not playing games, or you're not
texting and
things like that.
Yes.
Or, you know, kind of a big problem, especially with the younger kids, it's their first few campouts, and they're homesick.
Aww.
And
aww.
They call mom or dad.
Yeah.
You know, and they're aww. Crying. And
yeah.
pretty soon the parents want to come and pick them up.
Right. But you got to push through that, right? You have to learn how to become one with your group and your group and your troop.
Well, that's what we try to get them to do. If we're camping, like we go to summer camp, we're gone for a week during the summer. And kids often get homesick then.
Yeah.
So as a leader, we try to watch the boys. You know, are they hanging around camp all day,
mm-hmm. kind of moping
in their tent, moping?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things to do. You know, swimming and canoeing and rifle shooting and bow and arrow and working on different merit badges. There's always something to do. So we have to encourage them to do that. Try to pair them up with an older scout who isn't homesick, you know, have a buddy.
Yes,
have
the buddy system.
Have a friend to do something with, that kind of thing. But, Yeah, the phones, sometimes they're a detriment.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the Scout Oath. What is the Scout Oath and what is Scout Law? There's mythical ideations about what it is. I'd like to know, and what's that thing that they do with their fingers? Is that a sign between them?
That's the Scout sign.
Did I do it right?
The three fingers.
Oh, it's three fingers.
Yeah. Well, in Cubs, it's two.
Kind of.
And in Scouts, it's three.
Three, okay.
Yeah.
Does it mean something? Do the two mean something? And does the three mean something?
Yes, they do. The Scout sign is made this way with your arm at a right angle.
Okay.
And this way, it has a different meaning. That's to quiet down and pay attention.
So off to the side, right angle,
and we make
cactus
that,
arm, essentially.
We make that
three.
When we do the oath.
When you do the oath.
And we do that when we repeat the Scout Law.
And then arm kind of straight above, and
means
the three
attention.
Overhead
stop,
means attention.
Stop what you're doing, stop talking,
right.
Pay attention to your leader.
Okay, cool.
And generally that works.
Generally it works. So you don't have to, hey guys, quiet down, listen up. You just put up the three fingers in.
That's right. You don't say a word.
Wow. I would love to see that live sometime, like at a camp with a bunch of raucous kids and just the fingers go up and to see how long it takes to settle.
Oh yeah. You might be in the mess hall at summer camp and have over 100 kids, noisy as heck.
Right.
And the main leader or somebody wants to talk to them.
Yes.
And he doesn't say anything. He just raises his hand and everybody else raises their hand when they see it.
Oh, so it's an acknowledgement. Oh my gosh.
Pretty
it gives
soon
me goosebumps.
You've got over 100 hands making, with their
yes.
fingers in the air to be quiet.
That's so cool.
And I've been involved in schools and I've seen a lot of teachers use that to quiet their kids down.
And it works, doesn't it?
It works, yeah. Once the kids get used to it.
Well, what's neat about it is they realize they're having to make a non-verbal, I'm here, commitment to be here now. Literally, it's be right here, right now. And they do it visually and physically, but without saying a word.
Right.
That's really cool. If you're just joining us, our guest in the studio is Alan Nierenberg, who is with Scouts BSA. He's been involved in scouting since he was 8 years old. And this is like a grandfather kind of guy here in the studio talking about his 54 years of experience in scouting. It's really interesting. We talked a little bit about the oath, but I don't want you to repeat the oath to me unless you know it off the top of your head. But I'd like to know what is the oath and talk a little bit more about law, Scout Law.
Well, the oath is a pledge. And it starts off on my honor. So you're giving your honor. You're making a promise to do something. And what you're promising is the next words, you're going to do your best. So you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be trying as hard as you can to do something. Do your best.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to do your best to do your duty to God and your country. And to obey the Scout Law.
Well, you know what I'm curious about, and this is my big downfall in life. I am curious about absolutely everything. And so I'm curious if students who participate in scouting, when you talk about, on my honor, and now they're making this promise that they're going to do my best, does that carry over into other aspects of life? Is there some study, some proof, or something that says that kids involved in scouting, for example, have higher grades or better social relationships? I'm just curious, what are some correlations that scouting has been able to show over the years?
Well, that's the whole idea, is you don't just practice these things when you're at a meeting or when you're on an outing.
Right.
We encourage the kids to practice them all the time. It's like the 12 laws. If mm-hmm. if everybody obeyed the 12 laws, society would be great, you know?
Yeah. Pick a couple of the 12 laws that you like. I'm sure you like them all, but pick a couple that you like to share.
My favorite is the first one, is trustworthy.
Yes.
I can trust a scout.
Yes.
If they tell me something, I can trust them that they're telling the truth.
Yes.
If they tell me they're going to do something, I can rely on them to do that. And trust is, I think, is hard to gain and easy to lose.
Yes.
If you lie to me, okay, maybe the first time, maybe I can excuse that the first time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you keep telling me you're going to do something and you don't do it, or you tell me you're going to meet me at a certain time, hey, let's meet down at the ball field and play baseball at 3 o'clock. And I go down there and I wait for you and you don't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, maybe the first time I can excuse that.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you tell me you're going to be somewhere and we're going to do something and you're not there and we don't do it.
Broken trust.
So pretty soon I learn not to trust you.
Right.
And it's going to take a long time for me to learn to trust you back again.
Right.
So that's my favorite, and that's the one I emphasize to the kids. I always ask them, you know, well, which one's the most important to you? And I don't know. I think sometimes that's the first one, so that's the first one they remember. But they say that, and then we talk about it. But see, every rank you go through, you go through what's called a board of review.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like 3 or 4, maybe 5 adults who are asking you questions,
mm-hmm.
Getting you to think about how scouting's been for you so far. Why did you join Scouts? When did you join? What do you enjoy doing? What do you not enjoy doing? What would you change?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite law?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I imagine this process of moving through the ranks in scouting and going through a board of review each time you move into a new position really gives a great deal of confidence to young men and women that they can interact with adults, they can have critical thinking, they can have self-impetus to move forward in their own lives based on what they are personally doing. I got to think that that's been a high and valuable part of character development for these young people as they go through life, as they go through scouting. It all applies. So when I asked that question about does it carry over to school and to other things, I love that you said, correct me if I'm wrong on this, you said something to the effect of, look, it doesn't just happen in the meeting. I don't want you to just be trustworthy when you're sitting in the meeting. I want you to be trustworthy when you're at the grocery store, when somebody says, hey, look, I could slip this candy bar into my pocket. Watch me get away with this. That the scout's honor says, I wouldn't do that. You know, on my honor, I'll do my best. I don't really know much about scouting, but what I'm learning about it, I absolutely adore. If you're just joining us here on KCIW, 100.7 FM in Brookings, Oregon, thank you for being here and being part of the Ocean Mist Power Hour. Our guest today is Alan Nierenberg, who is with Scouts BSA and is one of the leaders here in Troop 32, where he has spent a lot of time. And I can't thank you enough for the time you've spent. If people are interested to bring their youngsters into scouting here in the Brookings Harbor area, what do they do? How do they get involved? How do they find you? How do they find the organization? Where do you meet? You know, is there a den, a place?
We meet, well, the scouts meet every Monday night at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Now, that's all the scouts, right? So Cubs and
no,
Explorers.
No, not the Cubs.
Not the Cubs, okay.
Just the Scouts.
Just the Scouts.
The 11 to 14.
Okay.
Or 14 to 21. We have what's called a venture group. That's the older kids.
Okay.
And some kids are registered as Scouts and Venture. They're over 14, or they're over 14, but they can still...
They could participate in
both. Participate as scouts. Yeah, okay. They participate as both. They can stay in scouts until they're 18, and then they can overlap in ventures from 14 to 21.
Okay.
So we've got kind of like a Venn diagram where it crosses there.
Yes, and, right in the middle. Uh-huh.
So we meet on Mondays at 7 o'clock at Scout Hall over next to the Masons.
Okay.
And that's the road over to Azalea Park.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of it.
I've noticed in Brookings, people don't know names of streets. We tell each other, you know, well, turn right at Cielito Lindo or turn left at the Mexican restaurant.
We know how to get there, but we can't. It's harder to tell people.
I know. It's awesome.
And the Cubs, I believe, they have a PAC meeting once a month. And I believe that's on a Thursday, again at Scout Hall. And then they're divided, the pack is divided into what's called dens. And the dens meet at different times. But we could find out if they wanted to join. If you're interested in joining, whether you're a boy or a girl, you could call me. I'm at 541-469-8939.
That's awesome. That's your own personal number, your home number.
That's my home number.
And look how cool that is. This is what's neat about our little town. We're in a little town where a guy can come in on the radio and say, hey, give me a call if you'd like to help your kids get involved in something where they're going to learn about honor and duty and doing your best.
Right.
Yeah,
and
I love that.
If you're younger and you want to be a Cub Scout, your parents could call me and I could direct you to the Cub Pack.
Now, I'm a grandma. I have four grandchildren. They're awesome. A couple of 8-year-old twins and a 5-year-old and a baby who's just a year old. Do grandparents get involved in Scouts, and what might they do?
Well, sometimes they do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's different things that come up from time to time in Cubs or in Scouts. They're not, you know, you don't have to be a Scoutmaster or a Cub Pack leader or a den leader. That would be nice, but those are like full-time commitments. You know, they take up more time. But we have what we call a resource survey. And so when your kid comes in and you come in with them, we'll give you an application. We'll have an adult application and we'll have a Cub or Boy Scout application.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll give you, we have a packet. The troop has a packet, a new Scout packet. And it's got our bylaws. And, you know, such as no electronics allowed on campouts, that kind of thing.
So they know that going in. It's not like that's a big surprise, like you get to the truck to go on an outing and somebody goes, oh, wait, you can't bring your phone. You know that going in.
They should.
They
yeah.
should, if they're reading their packets.
If they're reading their packet.
Yes.
Another sheet tells you what you need to go camping.
Like a whole complete list, everything.
A list of
toilet paper to toothbrush to you name it.
Well, not necessarily toilet paper. Usually we have that
okay.
or the place supplies it, but
okay.
You don't have to bring your own. But rain gear, it's amazing.
You got to have
how
that
many
for
kids,
sure here.
They've got a nice coat or jacket, and it might repel some light rain, but when you get out in the heavy stuff, it goes right through it. And
right.
You're cold and wet. So
yeah.
Rain gear it's a sunny day now, so I don't need my rain gear. Well, you need your rain gear every time you go out because you don't know what's going to happen, that kind of thing. So bylaws, equipment list, a medical form. You have to have a medical.
I got to know what's going on.
Every year you have to have a new medical form.
Yep.
If you go out for sports, you need a medical form.
Mm-hmm.
So that will suffice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, same form. So if you got a sports physical, that will be the same.
Well, if you go to the doctor and have a sports physical, I'm not sure that the forms are exactly the same.
But it suffices.
The Boy Scout form, if you take it into your doctor, he'll sign it off.
Got it.
You know, it's pretty
yes.
easy. You don't have to redo it. I'm trying to think. So there'd be an application in there. And when you're an adult, we give you what's called a survey.
Yes.
And it's got a whole list of things that you think you could do to help the troop.
Love it.
And on the back side, it's got a list of all the merit badges, and you can check off the ones that you think you could be a merit badge counselor for.
Now, talk about the merit badges. You know, sometimes I can visualize in my mind seeing the kids at school that had their sashes on, and they had little things on them that were all sewn on. What are those, and how many are there that you can go for, and how do you go for them, and does it take a long time, and are they the same for girls and boys?
Well, they are now.
They are now, yes.
They are now.
Yeah.
Girls who are in Scouts can earn the same ranks and the same merit badges.
So girls can earn an Eagle Scout rank now.
That's right, they can.
Super cool.
And people were concerned at first that the girls would be racing to be the first Eagle nationally. So to stem that, National has decided they're not going to announce that, whoever the first one is. We won't know. We'll know that there's Eagle girls now, but we won't know who was the first one.
Yeah. Maybe somewhere in the future, they'll look back and do a retrospective and say, 10 years ago, the very first Eagle Scout girl was.
Well, that may be. I think they know who the first Boy Scout Eagle was.
Sure, yeah.
But you get back to your question about merit badges. I don't know exactly how many there are.
Yeah.
I think there's over 100 easily.
Wow. And so there's dozens and dozens for sure of skills. These are all life skills that the students can learn, again, not just in scouting, things that they can learn that they can apply to other areas of their life.
Well, I hear that a lot. Scouts may have done a merit badge as scouts, and then later on they say, well, yeah, that helped me as an adult, or that gave me that led me to a career.
Wow.
See, some of the merit badges are kind of career related.
Yeah.
Others are skill related.
Yes.
First aid, cooking, camping, hiking, different things like that. Well, maybe that would give you an idea of something that you're interested in as a leisure activity as an adult.
Right.
Which we all need. Chess is a merit badge.
Oh my gosh. So you can learn how to play chess.
You have to know how
strategy
to play chess.
And tactics.
Right.
Right. And then that, that kind of thinking, just playing chess, it's very analytical. It's very structured. There's a system to playing and winning that game. I love that there's a chess merit badge. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm the counselor for that one.
Is that right? That's pretty
when
cool.
When I was at the elementary school, I've probably taught over 1,000 kids how to play chess in my career.
That's awesome. Did any of them go up against Big Blue or guy?
No. I get frustrated because it's I think anybody can learn how to play chess, but the strategy of it is harder. Yeah, and I'm trying to think of a career-related merit badge.
Communication. Is there a communication badge?
There's a communication
badge?
Merit badge.
Are there any technology badges?
There's one called technology.
There is one called technology. That's interesting. Well, cooking can obviously be a badge that could lead to a career,
Could be a career, or it could be very helpful as you get older.
Yep.
Maybe you're in college living in an apartment for the first time and you have to cook your own food.
Yes. Yes. And Top Ramen isn't really food, but
No, we don't allow that.
Oh, good.
You can't just open a can of beans and heat it up.
That's not cooking.
Eat it. You have to cook.
You have to learn how to chop and prep and put things together in ways that make sense for actual human nutrition. Are there any nutrition badges?
Well, nutrition, I think, would be part of cooking.
Maybe, yeah.
They talk about we don't have a pyramid anymore. We have a plate.
A plate, yeah.
And the things that are on the plate, and you have to have those in your dinner. And to get certain ranks, you have to prepare a meal for your patrol.
Oh my gosh. Again, coming back to this idea of community, of a team, there's no I in team. We've all heard that, right? And there they are, yet again, every single one of those activities involves bringing others with you. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, bring a group, bring a team. Fantastic. So again, if people want to be involved with scouting here in the Brookings Harbor area, there are some Monday meetings, there are Thursday meetings monthly for the Cubs. There are leader meetings that are separate now, right? So, let's just say I went totally gaga and I said, I want to be part of this. I want to totally get involved. I want to be part of your communications thing. Then I would have all kinds of opportunities to participate and serve young people.
If you wanted to get involved that deeply, we could get you in up to your neck.
You hooked up. Okay. Okay.
I was just thinking about it today. I probably go to 7 meetings a month.
Right.
And when I can, I go to the campouts. I don't go camping with them anymore because it's kind of hard physically for me. But
yes,
like down at Florence Keller, I drove down there Saturday and spent Saturday with them and worked on requirements and things like that.
And then came on home.
Yeah, and we do that. We go camping once a month. So
right.
you could get involved as deeply or as lightly as you'd want.
So one of the things that I've learned in my recent studies is there's a concept in nutrition studies that I've been reading about called the blue zones. And in blue zones, which are these 9 or 10 exceptionally long-lived communities throughout the world, they have specific nutrition ways that they eat. They have ways that they move. You know, they typically involve, so there's a lot of fruits and vegetables in their diet, very low meat. There's a lot of natural motion or movement built into their day. So instead of riding their, you know, instead of driving their car down the street to see a friend, they'll walk to a friend's house. So incorporate movement in their days. They also have regular community activities. I can't remember the word right now. All of a sudden, it's a Japanese word that they use to talk about these. It's a movi or a moai. I think it's a moai. It's a little group of people that come together. And what I love about this idea of getting involved in Scouts is you really do create an opportunity for friendship, camaraderie, fellowship, and service. Now, personally, I'm into service. I think service is really cool. I think it's neat when people step forward, raise their hand, say, how can I help? What can I do to make a difference? And getting involved in Scouts is a way to do that. So if you're here listening today, tonight, wherever you are right now, and learning a little bit about Scouts, and you think you might have something to offer to the community in general, to kids in particular, you know, reach out. You know that you can reach Alan Nierenberg on 541-469-8939. And again, as Alan just said, and I appreciate it, you can get involved in as little as you want or as much. You don't need to do 7 meetings a month. One meeting a month would be great. But again, think about how you might be able to serve the community, serve your hometown, serve kids, and you're serving yourself. Again, I know that it sounds a little selfish, but you can be serving yourself in a way that helps your own axons and dendrites in your brain fire better because you're helping and you're being part of a community. And I see that. I see that in you, Alan. I see that in you. You know, we're sitting here and I sing at some old folks' homes, and I see people your age who are completely vacant. Literally, they're physically there, but they're not there. But you're right here, and you're active, and you're involved, and you're stepping forward, and you're raising your hand, and you're doing things to help. And I appreciate that a lot. And I know the kids do too.
Well, thank you. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
I just do it. I think other seniors probably realize too that the things you do are the things that keep you going. I have other things I do besides Boy Scouts, but Scouts are my main thing. Mm-hmm. I've thought at times of retiring from it. What would I do? And, you know, it sounds weird to, it may sound weird to people, I don't know, but most of my friends are Scout people. You know, I know a lot of Scout people, and some of them are good friends of mine.
And I bet you've got friends from literally all over the country for sure, and all over the world.
Well, over the country, at least.
Yeah. What I love about that is when I think back to, you know, you talking about the oath being a pledge and the first three words, on my honor, you know, it's heartening to me that you have all these friends that you've made, and you come back to that first rule, that first law about trust. I have a feeling you have a deeply satisfying, trustworthy, honorable relationship with all these friends you've made through Scouting over these decades.
Well, I certainly try to.
That's awesome.
One of my best friend who I went to college with, actually I married his sister. He's an Eagle Scout, and we were in Scouts together, and I still talk to him.
That's so great.
And we visit back and forth.
Yes.
And others less often, but occasionally they come back and visit.
And there you are. And are they, have those folks largely stayed involved in the Scouting organizations too?
No, I have to say no.
No, you're probably kind of an exception to the rule.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, you have a lovely glow about you, just a healthy, lovely glow that says you're active and involved. And I, for one, thank you for that. And again, if you've tuned in here to the Ocean Mist Power Hour, we've been visiting with Alan Nierenberg. We've come to the end of our show. Alan, thank you for being here with us today. Really appreciate the language, the opportunity, the learning that you've shared, and hopefully you've sparked some interest in some other folks to get involved in Scouts. Thank you.
Well, I hope so, too. And I would encourage boys and girls to check our program out. Come visit us, see what we do. And maybe the program would be something for you.
I love to hear that. In fact, if you're interested, of course, you can go Google Scouts BSA. And of course, you can ask those questions. Again, Alan's phone number, 541-469-8939. Thank you for being so kind and gracious and generous to share that information and everything you shared today on the Ocean Mist Power Hour right here in Brookings Harbor, the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest, about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S., home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and as you just discovered today, the nicest people you'll ever meet. Where the mountains and the redwoods meet the sea, Harbor Brookings is home to me. Thank you again for being part of this today.